You all in Jesus' name this morning. It's good to be here and be with you all. I enjoyed the service so far, and Brian's thoughts about God's greatness really got me to thinking. And also in Sunday school, we had some interesting discussion too about how the wickedness of the world drew the people of God away so quickly. This morning, I'd like to talk about what is your passion today? Do you have a passion for God? I'd like to read in Joshua chapter 22, verse 5, as an introduction, sort of. Just one verse here. This was Joshua talking to the children of Israel. He says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God, and to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments, and to cleave unto him, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." You know, I think passion or zeal is something, the Bible calls it zeal, is something that's lacking many times in churches and in Christians. And when I say passion, I don't mean shouting emotion and commotion. Because I think you find often that the steady, controlled type of passion is something that lasts. And just like when you're singing, passion isn't just about your style and your volume. It's about how you sing. And I think that's the same way it is for your life. It's not about how much noise you make or how flamboyant you are or anything like that. But it's about how you live your life. Do you live your life in a passionate way? And serving the Lord with passion and with all your heart and all your soul takes effort. It's not something that just happens. And I think many times we fall short of that, and I know I do, living for God in a committed way, in a passionate way. I had to ask these questions of myself, and I'd like you to think about them too. Are you excited about serving God? Is it important to you? Does the Bible interest you? If it doesn't, why not? I had to think, for thousands of years, people have been transformed and changed by the Bible. And even today, many people are persecuted, are thrown in jail, are tortured for the simple Word of God, for having the Word of God, for wanting the Word of God. They were willing to endure that. Do we have a passion for God's Word and for God like that? Many are in prison because they confess Jesus as their Savior. Do we have an eagerness to learn about Jesus, to understand more about him? The Bible talks about how the prophets of the Old Testament diligently sought to know what God's plan was for his people. They looked in the writings, and they studied it, and they tried to figure out what was going to happen next. And they had a passion for learning about God and for knowing what he was doing. Maybe we find ourselves captivated by something else. Maybe our passion is something else. Maybe it's in sports. Maybe it's something in electronics, the latest electronics. Or maybe it's hunting. Or maybe it's your work, or reading, or surfing the internet. There's many things the world will offer you as an alternative passion, as an alternative drive for your life. And you know, there are some good things that we can be committed and passionate about. Our family, for example. But really, what is the most important and the thing that we really need most, the desire that we should cultivate the most, and that's our relationship with God, I believe. The world is full of people that show passion for their various causes. You know, there's atheists that are extremely passionate about their beliefs that there's no God. Should a Christian find himself less passionate about his relationship with God than what the atheist is about his belief there is no God? I don't think we should. So it's not okay for us to be only a little committed to God. It's not okay for us to be somewhat dedicated to serving him. I think serving God without any passion, without any commitment, is a dangerous place to be. And I'd like to turn to Revelation 3 and read some verses there. This is probably very familiar to you, but it really brings out this point that God really wants us to be passionate. He wants us to be hot for him. I'm going to start in verse 13 of chapter 3. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And unto the church, and unto the angel of the church of Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him, and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So here we see the Laodiceans were people that had all they needed. They had money, they had clothes, they had a good income. They didn't lack for anything. In fact, they're a lot like us. That's where we find ourselves today. We often have little lack of material things. And this lack led them to become complacent and self-sufficient. They didn't realize what their true condition was. They didn't realize their true poverty, their nakedness, and their blindness. They couldn't work up any zeal for God because they didn't find any need in their hearts. Notice in verse 19, God asks two things of them here. He says, be zealous, therefore, and repent. So he wanted zeal, and he wanted repentance. And I think true repentance is marked by zeal, and also true Christian living is marked by zeal as well. You know, the root word for zeal in Greek means to boil. And I think our lives need to boil with the heat that God gives us, that Christ brings to us. Or we risk cooling off to God entirely. And if we cool off to God, it's not because he turned the burner off, it's because we got away from the stove. So why should you be passionate about your relationship with God? You know, we read here that this lack of passion or lack of commitment led to them being thrown out. And there's some other reasons, I think, that we can look at to drive us to be passionate about God. For one thing, God has put in each of us a desire and a drive to serve something, to serve, to seek a goal, to have a master. And if the Lord isn't your goal or your master, then the world will quickly find you one and give it to you very quickly, and it'll look nice, and it'll be available for you to take. Just become complacent about God for a time, and faster than you can imagine, you'll find that your love for him has waned. And I had to think of David in the Old Testament. He talks when he fell into sin with Bathsheba, he stayed at home from the war that they were fighting. And his cooling off to his eagerness to fulfill God's kingdom, I think, is what led to his sin. He let his eagerness for God's kingdom wane. And think about people that we know that we see that backslide into the world. Where did it start? The world has always has attractive things. It didn't start there. It started with their relaxing of their relationship with God and their desire to, their lack of desire for God, maybe. Another reason to be passionate about your relationship with God is nobody is drawn to Christ by a passionless Christian, a lukewarm Christian. Your life is not going to attract other people to Christ if it doesn't have any drive, any commitment, if people don't see that you're really committed to this. And I like to talk to fathers and myself here. You know, how do we draw our children to become passionate about God? How do we give them a desire for God and for his word? If we show through our lives that other things are more important, that we're more interested in sports or hunting or our own personal time or making money, We're going to pass that onto our children, and they will put that as their passion, and God will be down here somewhere. You know, when a salesman comes to sell you something, does he show apathy about his product? No, he comes and he talks excitedly and animatedly about his product. He doesn't stand there and yawn and give you a bored look while he's telling you about his product and how great it is. He wouldn't sell it. And in the same way, I think we can pass our passion for God onto others by showing it to them. We should cultivate a passion in our lives as parents for God that we can give to our children. Show an interest in the things of God. Show an interest in the Bible. Make Bible stories interesting and help our children to want to pray and think about God. Encourage them to ask questions. You know, I'm sure all you parents will empathize with me when I think about all the strange questions that you get asked by your children about God or about something, you know, the church. You know, it's just, but they're thinking about it, and you can encourage that thought, and you can encourage them to have a passion in their lives. Also, I had to think of the youth and how that they often show a stronger drive for things than adults do. And I had to think how that you can show a passion, you can cultivate a passion for God in your life now, and it will really help you in your Christian life as you grow older. You know, it speaks a lot to the world to see a group of young people, a young person, who is committed to something beyond themselves. So many people today are committed to themselves. They're passionate about themselves and about what they can get out of life. But when they see a youth that are passionate about doing good things, serving God and maybe singing for older people, that's a simple thing, but they care enough to do that. They're showing a passion for doing godly things. It's a wonderful contrast to what the world shows. The world shows lots of youth out there, but they're passionate about sports or video games or something that really isn't going to change anything, that's not important. And don't think that you can wait to be passionate about God for some other time. That's not a good reasoning. Yesterday, we got a phone call from one of Darlene's family and said that her cousin's husband died suddenly in his sleep. And he was about, I would say he was in his lower 30s. Nobody knew that he had any health problems except for maybe asthma or something. But he was a healthy, seemed like a healthy young man. He has three children, young little girls, and just like that, he was gone. And the opportunity for him to be passionate about God is gone. He was a godly man, I believe, but that opportunity is gone for him, and it can happen that quick to us. If you remember him, pray for his family. I had to ask this question. If it's not worth being passionate about, then why am I doing it? And if it's worth doing, therefore, it's worth being passionate about. So sometimes, you know, we look at our lives and we see that we lack in being excited and in being dedicated to God. And so what do we do? You know, how do we grow our zeal for God? Some people say that God is the only one that gives us a desire for Him. And I think the initial desire to serve God does come from God. However, I think we have a part to play in this. We need to cultivate that desire to serve God. And I think we've probably all been in that position where we want more of God. We need to seek Him more. We want to have a stronger desire for Him. And so, looking at what Jesus said to the church at Laodicea, he talks there in verse 18 about gold tried by fire. And I had to think of trials. When trials come our way, we need to allow God to work through those trials to grow us, to make us better. Let's not resist it when God tries to teach us something. That can help us grow our desire for God, believe it or not. it's amazing. We see stories of saints who are tried very greatly, and their love and their desire for God only grows because of it. You know, Fanny Crosby was blind because of a mistake that a doctor, who wasn't even a real doctor, he passed himself off as a doctor, made when she was very young. She was, I think, a couple months old. She was blind because of that mistake of this false doctor. And, you know, she could have become bitter about what happened to her. And in fact, somebody told her once, you know, that this person said, "I think it's a great pity that the Master did not give you sight when he showered so many other gifts upon you." Well, she didn't let that go, as that comment go, as it was said. She said, "Do you know that if at birth I had been able to make one petition, it would have been that I was born blind?" She said, "Because when I get to heaven, the first face that shall ever gladden my sight will be that of my Savior." You know, she had a desire for God, and the trials that she faced as a blind person, which probably were greater than blind people face today because there's lots of technology nowadays for blind people, the trials she faced only made her desire God more. And if you read her, the songs that she wrote, you know, you can see that coming out in what she says. There in verse 18 of chapter 3 of Revelations, it also talks about white raiment. And white raiment is holiness, righteous living. You know, and I think we can grow our desire for God, our passion for God, by just obeying his calls for holy living and righteous living. It also speaks there of eye salve and how that the Laodiceans were not seeing their own condition. And I think this can help us to grow a desire for God. And I had to think of what Brian was saying in devotions about how great God is. When we see some of these things about God and about ourselves, we suddenly realize that we needed God. We have a desire. Our desire for him grows. Go back to the beginning and remember what you were like, what it was like without God and without Jesus in your heart. Remember and remind yourself of your need of him. Remind yourself that you're wretched and miserable and blind, just like these Laodiceans were, and that you were redeemed from eternal hell by God's grace. Remember those things. And remember that you have a home prepared for you. I'd like to read another passage here in Psalm. I'm going to read chapter 40 of Psalm here. This is David, and I think he had a desire for God that can be an example to us. He really showed a strong commitment to do what God wanted. Psalm 40, verse 1, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust, and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire, mine ears hast thou opened. Burnt offering and sin offering hast thou not required. Then said I, Lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Yea, thy law is within my heart. I have preached righteousness in the great congregation. Lo, I have not refrained my lips. O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hid thy righteousness within my heart. I have declared thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation." So here we see David, you know, he goes back, he remembers what God brought him out of. He talks about this horrible pit and the clay that he was stuck in. And he talks about how God brought him out of that and established his goings. He sings a new song. Remember that old song that we used to sing when Jesus was not our Savior. Remember that song. Notice also that David praises God for the wonderful things he's done in people's lives. And he has such a strong, fiery devotion for God here that it says in verse 10 that he can't hold back the righteousness of God. It just comes out of him. It's a delight to do his will. And he has a desire that he can't hide. So I think we can build our desire and our passion for God by just getting into his word and studying it and reading it and realizing what he's done for us. And, you know, read the Psalms and let some of David's enthusiasm for God rub off on you. Give God quality time and prayer and Bible reading. Take a verse with you in your devotions and think about it through the day. These are all things that I'm talking to myself here too, because I find myself falling short of this very thing. You know, someone has said, you know, if you struggle loving someone, do something for them. And you know, I think that can help our desire for God too. Let's seek to serve him. Sometimes we think we have to have a burning desire to serve God before we can do anything that's useful for him. And I don't think that's true. I think often us just doing a little thing for God that we know would be good, that can help us to cultivate a desire for more of him. We can obey and serve him now, and our desire for him will grow. We can get involved in work in the church with helping our brother in the mission work. And I think these will all help us to cultivate a passion for God. So I'm just going to leave you with that and think about your own life. And I'm thinking about mine as far as having a desire for God. You know, if God doesn't have our everything, then he might not have our anything. Okay, that's all I have, but I'll just leave it open for any thoughts or testimonies.